have experience travelling with your baby or your toddler, and I'm really happy to hear those stories this afternoon. It could have been an absolute doddle, and open doors to you. 1300 681 666, the SMS, 0467 922 666, and if you want to tweet at 666 Canberra. Because while I'm saying this, it is, I think I might have remembered it being said to me, look, don't even think about travelling with babies or young children. It's just too hard. And according to my next guest, it's not. And Sue White is a Canberra-based journalist and travel writer. And she has launched a new website called babieswhotravel.com. And Sue joins me in the studio. Great to see you, Sue.
Lovely to be here.
Okay, tell us the story. How did this all come about?
Look, I've been a travel writer for years. And before that, I was a really avid traveller since, you know, day dot. My family instilled it into me. And then when I had my son, which is about 18 months ago now, I just assumed that we would go travelling because it's kind of in my blood. But people thought I was crazy and they just couldn't really see how it was going to be possible. And I decided almost as much initially for me as for him that I was going to do it just to see if it really was achievable. And look, it is. You definitely have to travel differently. But, you know, I did come out
the
other
side.
Did you
get a bit of tut-tutting too? This is not what babies need, and babies need routine. And
yeah, I think that people worry about you, and maybe they worry about you more than your baby, and they wonder how you're going to cope with it. I do think that there is, if you want to look after yourself, you do actually also have to try and keep a semblance of routine for a baby while you're traveling. And that's where the logistics do start to compound fairly quickly. Mm. But once you get into the headspace of that, you can actually have a really good time.
So apparently you decided to do this website when you survived a 24-hour flight with your young son. Is that right?
Yes, solo.
Because I suppose we've all been there, and we see the young parents coming with the babies thinking, I hope we don't get sat on the plane next to them.
Yes, I was that person when you walk down the aisle and you can just feel everyone's eyes.
Oh, please don't sit down.
No, keep going. Yeah, so I did a 24-hour flight solo. We did Europe when my son was 10 months old. And it actually went pretty well, but I think it went well because I was really worried about it because people were ramping me up saying this is going to be a disaster. And so I really thought about how I was going to make it work, and I did quite a bit of preparation, and I packed properly, which took me a lot of figuring out of, well, how logistically can you carry a baby and carry stuff and get through security and things. And I figured out that the tools and the luggage and things that I used to have, I basically had to ditch all of that and sort of recalibrate it to work with a baby. Because things you think about, like you're trying to go through security and you've got your baby in this beautiful baby carrier and they're all snuggled up and asleep. Well, that's fine, but security doesn't let you through without looking at the baby. So you've got to wake the baby up. So you time when you're actually going to go through the gates to be a time when your child is awake. Or I had they're called rolling backpacks. They're actually really great for anyone, I would say. So a little carry-on thing that can be a backpack or can be like a wheelie bag, because sometimes with a kid you need to put something on your back and sometimes you actually need your hands free or you've got enough on your back. So those little tweaks worked. What I was surprised about was on the plane actually, people actually are much nicer than you think, given that energy of the horrified looks. Amongst that, there are quite a lot of clucky people out there who are bored. They're sitting on a plane for 24 hours and they've just, you know, got not much to do.
So you got kindness and understanding, did you?
I got so much kindness and understanding.
Great.
I had a baby who was crawling, and so I figured out it took about an hour to do a lap of both aisles. And you just walk behind them supportively and someone will play peekaboo with them for 5 minutes and then you just walk on. And you just ignore the people. You know, you move past the people who are deliberately trying to avoid your eye contact. You let them have their own nice space, and then you embrace the others.
The ones who look at you and give you a smile.
That's
and go,
right.
You're doing a good
grandparents.
Job.
Grandparents are the best, missing their grandchildren.
Oh, we're talking you up. Big shout out to the grandparents this afternoon. And Sue White is with me, and she's talking about a new website she started called babieswhotravel.com. So from that, you started to think it through and thought, okay, this can be a whole thing. Did you?
Yeah, what I realised was it took me quite a long time to gather all the facts about, well, should we have an go on the aisle or the window, or should I take a pram and what kind of pram and what kind of cot and all the logistics and the practical considerations about travelling with a child under one, as well as just some fun things like what can you actually do when you are somewhere that is exciting that you feel like is worth going away for. So we did things like I took my son to baby opera at the Royal Opera House in London, or messy play at Kensington Palace. And like, you know, he had a ball because they're really targeted specifically at his age group by these expert, you know, artists. But for me, it was actually a really amazing experience that I couldn't really do without
him. So were George and Charlotte there? Or
they weren't there, but they were certainly in the gift shop on all the souvenirs. I think George would like messy play, I have to say.
Baby opera, though. That's hilarious.
Baby opera was superb. And, you know, kids have – you think that kids have such a short attention span, and they do, but what it made me realise was – not if someone's really great at their thing. So these, you know, artists who have put together a production that's really tailored at what young kids are attracted to. My son was spellbound for 45 minutes at 11 months old. So I was impressed.
Sue White is with me. Bess just texted saying, on the contrary, we travelled extensively to Hinchinbrook Island, Canada, Cook Islands, Hawaii and New Zealand before my daughter was two because she was free of charge, portable, and we relaxed at her pace. Travel light, no excess paraphernalia and pyjamas for bedtime. My daughter was 8 weeks old when she first flew to Canada. Brilliant memories and photos.
I think that's great, and I absolutely agree about the before two is a fantastic window because they're free. I think it does get more work between one and two. That's certainly what I'm finding. Almost the under one is great, and you do need to relax into it. A lot of this is about your attitude. Mm. So I tend to have this philosophy that in a day, if we can, we'll do something that's for me, something that's just for my child, and then something that's for both of us. So, you know, the me might be we have breakfast in a cafe because I really love doing that and, you know, people watching. And then there's something for him might be something very kid-specific, like a playground where you do meet local parents. So that's actually a nice interaction. And then there's something for both of us might be a picnic in, you know, Hyde Park or somewhere that's actually we both get something out of, but really he's just kind of running around for an hour.
And so I've heard this too for people who have travelled with really young children saying you get people come and talk to you that probably wouldn't have talked to you if you'd been travelling as a couple or alone.
Oh, absolutely. You're a people magnet when you travel with a child, which is fantastic. The downside of that is the conversation is fairly repetitive, which is how old is your child and, you know, where are you from? But it is a great entree. And if you are smart about it and you try and tap into what the local kids are doing, then you can sometimes have a little bit more interesting conversations along the way.
So with babieswhotravel.com, have you had much interaction from people?
Yeah, I've had a lot of really great response, and I've also started a Facebook group for families or travel keen parents, really, called Kids Who Travel. And on that we talk about kids sort of up to about 10 years old is where people are sort of sharing tips. So that Facebook group is a really great community that people, anyone's welcome to join that. You can find that from the Babies Who Travel website. And I've also found that people are really happy because the information was hard to find. So I had to go to lots of different places to figure all this out. So I wanted to give people something where they could just actually just spend an hour and go, you know what, I've actually kind of got most of the answers.
You've sifted it for them.
Yes. I spent 8 months sifting for them.
And what do you want to do with it? In the long term?
Oh, look, I'm a travel writer, so I definitely want to keep travelling and doing family travel. So now I want to just make sure that that resource is really up to date. I want to keep adding inspiration for parents because I think that it, especially if you're new to travelling or you're nervous about travelling, you don't necessarily know where to look. And even though it's very hard to cover the, you know, I can't cover the whole globe of everything you can do with a baby, but I can give you 50 different great ideas of things that you can do with a baby. And we've got some great starts to that. You know, we talk about the Swiss family carriage on the Swiss trains where there's a playground on the train carriage. So I'd like to keep doing that and keep supporting parents to really just encourage them to travel, because I think it's a real shame for you and your kids if you keep putting that off until one day, someday. And if you're willing to just take it slowly, as your listener said, and to just adapt then and continually adapt and go with the flow, then you can actually have some amazing experiences.
Are you going to have more children soon?
I think for me, one might be it. I think that's more to do with my age, though, than my desire to have more.
Because as a travel writer, that's a challenge, isn't it?
It is.
Which is how this all started.
It absolutely is a challenge. And the Travel Writers Association cut you a little break for the year that you are actually pregnant and having a baby, that you don't have to file all these stories to stay a member, because it is quite tricky. And certainly the way that I travel has really changed, and the way that I write about travel has changed. I used to do a lot of writing about yoga retreats and well-being, and now, given that most people go to those things to get away from children, it's probably
there's the baby yoga, the toddler yoga.
I've actually got my eye on a retreat in France where you can take children, but you've got to be three. So I'm holding out for one more year.
Albert is now proposing you come up with another website, Sue, which is for, and I'm quoting Albert, grumpy geriatrics who travel. So we'll sift through all the information for you. I don't know if there's a special carriage, Albert, on the Swiss trains for you. But
we could absolutely make a carriage for them, but I'm just thinking I need an alert so that I avoid those people on the planes.
So good on you. What a great response to life. And out you go to the world with your son.
Thank you so much.
And keep enjoying it.
Thanks,
Sue White is with me, freelance writer, presenter, and she is a travel writer and has come up with this Babies Who travel.com. So if you're thinking about it, or you know someone who's saying, I don't want to stop, you know, traveling, that's part of my life, have a look at this. Thanks, Sue. Lovely to meet you.